Happy are they who walk in the law of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to explain it all to you, okay? The evangelist we know as Matthew, based on how many times he mentions it in his gospel, seems to enjoy the notion of some kind of outer darkness, a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, he likes to say. In today's cheery gospel lesson, on a day when we baptize an infant, followers of Jesus who are angry with their brothers and sisters are liable to judgment. And if they insult a brother or sister, they will be liable to some sort of religious council. And when brought before that council, if one happens to be a little bit cranky, they may be legally answered to the hell of fire. When I was a relatively young boy, one night during a bedside chat with my mom, bless her soul, as they say, I was taught that babies that died before being baptized ended up somewhere between heaven and hell in a state of being affectionately called limbo. I'm not sure which two of these three potential destinations sounded worse, limbo or hell, to me as a young boy, but such was the beginning of my life as an evangelist bent on baptizing to the ends of the earth. Many, many years later, as a student in seminary, I was relieved to hear one of my theology professors, Bishop Mark Dyer, and this is a hint to the direction in which we are going. Mark Dyer was a former Roman Catholic who was defrocked by the Roman Church for denying the infallibility of the Pope. Tell us all that just because there is a hell doesn't mean there's anybody in it. The Greek word for hell, Gehenna, which appears three times in today's reading, is used a total of 12 times in the NRSV translation of the Bible, all of those instances, each and every one in the New Testament. Seven of those instances are in the Gospel according to Matthew, three of them in Mark, and Luke only uses the term once. If Matthew knows something that his synoptic partners don't, a crucial question to wonder about is what Jesus may have meant when he used the word. Gehenna is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew Ben Hinnom, which is an actual place. It's a valley south of Jerusalem. The only other reference to Ben Hinnom occurs in the Hebrew scriptures in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, where it is described as a place where children were sacrificed to God. As grim as that is, it's certainly a long way from an understanding of hell as an otherworldly place of eternal punishment. Biblically speaking, then, hell is a low place, a valley where the grim realities of human hatred are made manifest as a result of anger or sin or indifference or hatred or bigotry or lust. In that same passage in Jeremiah, God declares that child sacrifice was not something that God ever commanded, and in fact, had never entered God's mind. Cutting to the chase, that if there is a hell, it is temporal and not spiritual in nature. It is a human invention, not a divine one. Widening our lenses, today's gospel lesson from the gospel according to Matthew is part of one of the most profoundly challenging ethical exhortations in all of Scripture. The Sermon on the Mount. Hans-Dieter Betz, New Testament professor emeritus at the Divinity School at the University of Chicago, a man who spent his career focusing on the Sermon on the Mount, Paul's letter to the Galatians, and the Greco-Roman context in which early Christianity was formed has written that the Sermon on the Mount is an epitome. The epitome, perhaps. And the epitome was a literary genre of the ancient world. To epitomize a master's teaching was to cut it short to the bare bone, to condense a larger amount of teaching into a core message. Epitomes weren't messages designed for the masses, but rather for knowledgeable and mature followers of a master teacher. Here Metz. Correspondingly, the function of the Sermon on the Mount is to provide the disciples of Jesus with the necessary tool to become a Jesus theologian. Hearing and doing the sayings of Jesus means, therefore, enabling the disciple to theologize creatively along the lines of the theology of the Master. To say that pointedly, the Sermon on the Mount is not a law to be obeyed. That bears repeating, I think. The Sermon on the Mount is not a law to be obeyed, but rather a theology to be intellectually appropriated or internalized in order then to be creatively developed within the heart of the believer so that it can be implemented in concrete situations in life. You with me? Lately, I've been fascinated by a particular article written by American Catholic Benedictine monk David Steindl Rast called The Mystical Core of Organized Religion. In the article, Steindl Rast writes about the process of appropriation whereby a core experience of the divine, the core experience of the divine being the heart of all religions, can become a religion of the heart. The heart of religion becoming a religion of my heart, of your heart. For those who have heard me teaching lately, I've been on a riff born out of the combination of reading Steindl Rast while trying to appropriate the experiences of my recent sabbatical in the form of making objects of art. An epitome of what I have discovered thus far might be to say that the purest form of self-expression, in my experience, whether that be the expression of one's faith, or the self-expression in making art, happens when the expression is improvisational. Improvisational, not in the sense of the necessity or ability to make do from only what is available at the moment, but improvisational as emanating from the ability to express something beautiful spontaneously and without thinking about it, or about thinking about the consequences of it. You might think here of the ability that all children have in making beautiful images of art that defy all conventions or rules that we learn as we grow older and our ability to be creative is thwarted by the rules. It's a great story of a little girl named Jennifer who's drawing a picture in her art class, and her teacher comes to her and says, "Jennifer, what are you drawing?" And Jennifer says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher says, "Well, Jennifer, you can't draw a picture of God because no one knows what God's look like." And Jennifer says, "Well, they will in a few minutes." It And so it seems to me, if we're to possess the ability to express our faith as improvisation, we would be able to do so without being constrained by all the other rules or the rights and wrongs that we have learned along the way, so that the heart of religion becomes a religion of the heart. I don't think you need to think long about this working itself out in the history of the church as we grow, as we learn, as we interpret the law as theologians of Jesus. Creative and improvisational faith is exactly what allowed Absalom Jones to be ordained as the first African-American priest in the Episcopal Church in 1802, something that at the time was very much against the rules. In 1974, creative and improvisational faith is that which led and inspired three retired Episcopal bishops to controversially ordain 11 women to the priesthood in Philadelphia 2 years before the General Convention of the Episcopal Church would explicitly authorize the ordinations. 15 years later, creative and improvisational faith allowed the church to bless one of those women, Barbara Harris, as the first African-American bishop in the Episcopal Church. Semper Fi. Creative and improvisational faith has made it possible for our senior warden, Ken, and his husband, Brian, to be married in this sanctuary. What Jesus, it seems to me, is doing as he interprets the law in the Sermon on the Mount, and you remember last week he said, I came not to abolish but to fulfill, is that he's interrogating what it means to make a faith claim. All of us will stand in a moment and answer a question. We'll ask you, will all you do all in your power to support this person in their life in Christ? And your response will be, yes. How many of you remember the name Douglas John? John Douglas? At 3 o'clock this afternoon. Faith is meant to be interrogated. It's meant to be improvisational. So when the time comes to us to react in love and not judgment, we are able to, as people who have interpreted the law, and the heart of religion has become a religion of our hearts. Amen. Amen. We got a baptism to do. Emily? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.